Here in Spain, it's time to talk to Chris McCann from Blevins Franks. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm good, thanks, Howard.
Good. Well, when we discuss taxation and tax planning in Spain, this often includes a reminder of the importance of understanding and following these Spanish tax residence rules. But of course, the UK also has similar rules, and they may continue to affect British expatriates here. So this week, Chris will explain how the UK residence rules work and what happens if you meet the criteria in both Spain and the UK. So first of all, Chris, can you clarify what the term tax residence means? Does it differ from legal residence?
In the simplest of terms, somebody can have the legal right to reside or spend time in a country, but not qualify as a tax resident in that country. For example, British nationals currently have the legal right to reside for up to 90 days in a 180-day rolling period in the Schengen area, meaning that one can legally reside in Spain for up to 180 days of the year without being tax resident in Spain. It's also the case that certain visas, such as the Golden Visa, allow an individual to be legally resident in Spain, but not tax resident. As regards tax residence, every country has its own set of criteria to determine if you are required to pay taxes, which are separate from the requirements to obtain legal residence.
The UK's tax residence rules are relatively recent, aren't they?
Relatively recent. The statutory residence test, or SRT for short, came into effect from the 6th of April 2013 as a mechanism for establishing an individual's residence status for income, capital gains tax, and inheritance tax purposes. The SRT replaced all previous legislation, case law, and guidance from the 2013-14 UK tax year onwards. However, the old rules will continue to apply to determine an individual's residence in relation to the tax years up to and including the 2012-13 tax year, unless an election is made for the transitional provisions to apply.
Okay, so let's look at this test closely now. First of all, what automatically makes you non-resident in the UK for tax purposes?
Well, Howard, the legislation is complex, it's prescriptive, and it's mechanical in its approach, leaving little room for manoeuvre. In order to assess an individual's resident status, there are three sets of tests that should be worked through. Each test comprises a series of conditions to consider. If you meet one of the tests, there is no need to continue to the next test. The first test is the automatic overseas test, which takes precedence over any other test. If an individual meets any of the following conditions, they will automatically be treated as not resident in the UK. Firstly, they have been resident in the UK in one or more of the previous three tax years, and they are present in the UK for fewer than 16 days in the current tax year. Secondly, they were not resident in any of the previous UK tax years, and they have been present in the UK for fewer than 46 days in the current tax year. Or finally, they work sufficient hours overseas, broadly equivalent to full time, and work in the UK for no more than 30 days and spend no more than 90 days in the UK in the current tax year. If an individual does not meet any of these three conditions, it is necessary to consider the next test, which is the automatic residence test.
And what automatically makes you resident in the UK for tax purposes?
Well, under the second test, the automatic residence test, an individual will be automatically treated as resident in the UK if they meet any of the following conditions. Firstly, they are present in the UK for 183 days or more in the current tax year. Or they have a home in the UK which is available for a period of 91 consecutive days or more, and that home is used for at least 30 days in the tax year, and they have no overseas home, or if they do have an overseas home, they spend less than 30 days in it in the tax year. Or they work full-time in the UK for a period of at least 365 days without any significant break from work of 31 days or more, subject to certain conditions. It's worth noting that the final condition is a complicated part of the test and can be confirmed only by working through the facts of a case and then completing a mechanical computation.
What happens if your residence is not determined by these two tests?
Well, if an individual does not meet any of the conditions of the first two tests, the automatic overseas test or the automatic residence test, it will be necessary to consider the next test, which is called the sufficient ties test. Under the sufficient ties test, an individual must count the connections or ties they have with the UK. When doing this, there are five ties to consider: a family tie, an accommodation tie, a work tie, a 90-day tie, and a country tie. I won't go into detail in relation to each tie, as there are many quirks amongst them. Once an individual has calculated the number of ties that they have, the sufficient ties test operates on a sliding scale, where the more ties you have, the less time you can spend in the UK without becoming resident for tax purposes. Conversely, the fewer ties you have, the more days you can spend in the UK before becoming UK resident for tax purposes. As the three tests are detailed, and I'm sure many listeners have already lost what I'm saying halfway through, we've prepared a simple guide which explains each test and is designed to help an individual determine their UK resident status. If any of the listeners would like a copy of the guide, they simply need to contact one of our local advisors.
Does the test allow for split year treatment, or are there any exceptions?
Yes, if an individual either starts to live abroad or comes from abroad to live or work in the UK, they may be eligible to split the tax year into an overseas part and a UK part for certain purposes. As there are eight circumstances in which an individual may meet the criteria for split year treatment to apply, again, if any listeners would like to learn more about each, I recommend that they contact one of our local advisors for details.
Let's have a quick look at the Spanish rules now. Can you summarise what the tax residence rules here are?
Yes, as regards Spain, as many people believe, it's not simply a case of counting the number of days that you spend in Spain. Under Spanish domestic laws, you are resident for tax purposes if any of the following apply. Firstly, you spend more than 183 days in Spain, cumulatively, in a calendar year. But also, you can become resident if your centre of economic interests is in Spain, meaning that your economic or professional activities are based in Spain. Or finally, your centre of vital interests is in Spain, meaning that your spouse and or minor children live in Spain. If you qualify under either rule, you will be considered tax resident for the whole calendar year. Under Spanish domestic laws, you are either resident or non-resident for the whole tax year. In other words, there is no split year treatment in Spain, meaning that you cannot normally be resident for part of the year and non-resident for the remainder of the year. So, if you move to Spain partway through the tax year, the date from which you become tax resident in Spain will largely depend on when you arrive in Spain. If you arrive in Spain during the first 6 months of the calendar year, you are likely to be regarded as resident in Spain for the full calendar year under the Spanish residency rules, as you will likely have spent more than 183 days in Spain during the year. If you move to Spain in the latter half of the calendar year, then you're likely to find that you are regarded as non-Spanish resident during the year, assuming that you've not spent 183 days there during the year. However, this will depend on previous visits made to Spain, and if these have been significant or frequent, the Spanish authorities could deem you to be resident in Spain from the earlier date and may merely regard any subsequent time spent outside of Spain as a temporary absence. So if you leave Spain partway through a tax year, the same principles will apply. If you leave Spain during the first half of the calendar year and move back to the UK, you will not be regarded as resident for Spain for that year, as you will not have spent 183 days in Spain during that year. If you leave Spain during the second half of the calendar year, I think it's safe to say that you will likely be regarded as resident in Spain for the whole of the calendar year.
Understood. So is it possible to meet the residency criteria of both Spain and the UK? And what happens then?
Well, generally, you cannot be resident for tax purposes in two countries at the same time. But it is possible to be dual resident in both the UK and Spain under each country's respective domestic laws. If this occurs, you then need to use the tiebreaker questions or provisions established in the double tax treaty to determine where the individual will be resident. The agreement works as follows. If you are resident in both countries, you are deemed to be resident in the country in which you have a permanent home available to you. If you have permanent homes available in both countries, you're deemed to be resident in the country that is your centre of vital interests. In other words, the country in which your personal and economic relations are the closest. If this is indeterminate, you are deemed to be resident in the country in which you have an habitual abode. Finally, if you have an habitual abode in both countries, you are deemed to be resident in the country of which you are a national. Hence, at this point, UK nationals will typically be resident in the UK.
Do you think there are many UK nationals in Spain who get their tax residency wrong? And what happens if you do?
As I can imagine, people are already realising, it can get extremely complicated. And because of the complexity, many people do get it wrong. The worst case scenario is that you get it wrong, the Spanish tax authorities carry out an inspection, and you end up with an unexpected tax bill or a heavy fine. Every year, the Spanish General Directorate of Taxes publishes the guidelines of the Annual Tax and Customs Control Plan, which outlines the main strategic policies that they intend following in relation to reviews, audits, and inspections for the year. In other words, it details how they intend dealing with tax fraud. And it's worth noting that individual tax residence is currently at the top of the list of their priorities. As the statute of limitations for taxes in Spain is generally 4 years, starting from the day following the last date for submitting tax returns, I've been contacted by several people over the last few months who have so far received letters from the Spanish tax authorities asking that they confirm their resident status for calendar year 2018. As our clients have done for many years, if listeners take suitable advice in relation to legitimately minimising their exposure to tax in Spain, there is absolutely no reason why anybody should be in a situation that they fear a tax investigation from the Spanish tax authorities. As I've said on many occasions, Spain is a relatively high tax country, but is one of the best countries as regards legal and legitimate tax planning opportunities. If listeners haven't yet had a discussion with somebody qualified to provide such advice, I would strongly recommend investing an hour or so of their time to learn more about what can be done to provide legal and legitimate protection from tax in Spain.
And the website is the first port of call.
It is indeed. Listeners can visit our website, blevinsfranks.com, where they can find the contact details of all our local partners. If they prefer, they can also complete a contact form on our website, and a local Blevins Franks partner will be in touch as soon as possible to arrange the most appropriate next step.
Many thanks, Chris. Interesting today, and we'll talk again in the fortnight.
Thanks, Howard. It's a pleasure. Speak then.